This is Joe Ferrillo, and welcome to the weekly sermon from Amwell Church of the Brethren. We are located at 40 Sandbrook Headquarters Road in Surgeonsville, New Jersey.
This week's message is presented by Brother James Bradford and is entitled, Prosperity Principles.
Good morning. I'd like to start off with a question. Who has problems? Come on, raise your hands, or else those sitting next to you will think you're dishonest. Okay, very good. Everyone should have their hands raised because everyone has problems. In fact, they are common among Christians and non-Christians. Matthew 5:45 states, He maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. So if you're looking for an opportunity to witness, why not start with sharing about a problem? It's something anybody can relate to, and you can share about how the Lord helped you through it. That's what I'm going to do this morning. But first, do you know what else the Bible says about problems? They should bring us joy. That's right. James chapter 1, verse 2 to 3 states, My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Well, I don't know about you, but I don't think I've reached a level of spiritual maturity yet where I'm saying to Jesus, bring on the problems. I'll be honest, I used to think that verse sounded crazy, but I believe the Bible is true and perfect. Therefore, it must be correct that you actually can have joy amidst troubles. As I got older, I learned that the secret is letting God help you through it and then watching how He works through it. It's amazing and downright joyful to watch how He orchestrates all the moving parts at just the right time, just for you. So today's message is entitled Prosperity Principles. Now, what do you think of when you think of prosperity? Exactly, money, wealth. Well, that's one way to look at it. But if prosperity only meant money, then most of us wouldn't have a chance. So on the contrary, I submit to you that we can all have prosperity, because prosperity is the ability to live life to the fullest despite life's problems and challenges. If I could teach you how to have success and even joy during your troubles, would you be interested? Well, that's what I'll attempt to do this morning by talking you through the highlights of my job journey last year. So many of you know I spent the last decade working for a very well-known multinational company. In fact, the gentleman, Christian brother, and wonderful leader who hired me is in the audience this morning, so please say hi to him and his lovely wife before you leave. I loved the company and all the people I had the privilege to work with, and my desire was to remain with them for many years to come. 2 years ago, I was rewarded with a promotion. This new job was tough and required many hours that included a 3-hour round-trip commute. I usually left home about 6 a.m., got home about 9 p.m., and Pastor Bob challenged me to turn this commute into a commune. So instead of listening to the radio on the way to work in the morning, I talk to Jesus, and then I drive in silence as I listen for His response. Well, my function required a lot of work to turn it around, but in a year it was in good shape. And I was just beginning to have a better work-life balance when it was decided to divest our business unit. So the long work days returned, as we worked to run the business, as we also worked to sell it. It's kind of like when you're living in a home and trying to sell it at the same time. You know what an extra burden that is. Just before the acquisition, a senior leader asked me if I wanted to remain with the company. Sure, of course, that's what I wanted. But I felt the Holy Spirit telling me not to. I didn't understand it, but I wanted to be obedient. So therefore, I thanked him for the offer, but told him it just didn't seem like the right thing to do. And he appreciated that and accepted my decision. 4 months later, I found out that the job I would have retained was terminated, and I would have been unemployed anyway. So this was the first of many times where I saw the Lord's involvement. It was even a testimony to this same executive later when he declared to me, you know, James, good things usually work out for those who listen to the Lord. Amen? So last year, my business unit was sold to a competitor. All the employees were sold, including me. And things started off rough with a new company. They claimed they wanted to consider best practices but we soon found we were doing everything their way. We felt like minions of a conquering tribe. The new company demoted me, they took away my team, and made me report to someone with much less experience. This demotion demoralized and demotivated me. It made me feel unappreciated and unwanted, and I couldn't understand why the Lord was letting this happen. Fortunately, however, as part of the agreement of sale, my former employer made my new employer promise to maintain the compensation of all employees for 1 year. So this was the second way I saw the Lord's involvement, because the market value for my new role was about half that of my previous role. So the Holy Spirit revealed to me early on, James, this is going to be a long and difficult process, but keep your focus on me. Well, things got worse. After the first 3 months, the new company announced closure of multiple manufacturing sites that would leave most of us unemployed. They offered a severance package to stay until they decided to lay us off, but most employees started looking for new jobs as quickly as possible, including me. Earlier in my career, I had been laid off 2 times, and each time I had a new job within 2 months. Not so bad. With both instances, the Lord took me to a higher level of responsibility and compensation. Therefore, I kept reminding myself of His faithfulness in the past and was encouraged that He would have something even better for me eventually. So I kept telling Jesus, I'm trusting You. As you know, sometimes the Lord answers yes, sometimes no, and sometimes wait. Well, for 6 months, my answer was wait. I was applying to many positions and talking to many people, but there were no invitations to formally interview. I interviewed for a couple jobs finally, but the answer was no. I kept remembering how the Lord had made circumstances better for me in the past and held on to His track record of faithfulness to me. I said, if You've got something better for me, Lord, I can persevere a little longer. Well, the Lord gave me encouragement. In fact, I found encouragement every single week. This brought me joy. Sometimes it was in a card from my church family, or a call, text, or email from a friend or family member. Sometimes it was favorable networking that led to a new job lead. Sometimes it was a word of encouragement from my colleagues. And sometimes it came through answered prayer when a colleague found a new job. Well, 6 months after the acquisition, I learned my name was on the layoff schedule. However, at the last moment, it was miraculously removed. It was clearly the Lord's involvement, and I felt that He was protecting me from layoff at this time because there wasn't a new job yet for me. That is, yet. Well, my truck almost broke down going to 2 interviews and cost several $100s to repair. It was 15 years old with 250,000 miles. My wife and I had been saving money for 2 years for a new vehicle, but the last thing a person wants to do when you're facing imminent layoff is to spend money. Well, we considered the risk, and we knew we may need that money to pay bills eventually, but we stepped forward in faith. We remembered what God said to the lukewarm church in the book of Revelation, and agreed if we're going to have faith, we need to be all in. So, while I still had no certain job prospects and no idea when I may be laid off, we purchased a new vehicle, and the Lord blessed us with a 20% discount and 0% financing. 9 months after the acquisition, my boss informed me that I had nothing to worry about regarding layoff. You're doing a good job, she said. Relax and don't worry. The following week, however, she delivered my termination notice. Well, we'll come back for the conclusion of the story. But first, I want to walk you through 3 prosperity principles revealed in my job journey. Remember, as you think of prosperity, don't just consider wealth, but anything that allows you to live life to the fullest. For example, good health, family, friends, meaningful work, etc. Principle number 1, obey God and leave all the consequences to Him. This is one of the life principles promoted by Dr. Charles Stanley. My parents gave me a framing of this statement, and I have it hung where I can see it in the morning every day when I get up. This principle is found throughout the Bible. I'd like to share a few verses with you. Deuteronomy 29:9, Moses instructs the Israelites, keep therefore the words of this covenant, and do them, that ye may prosper in all that ye do. In Joshua 1, verses 7-9, after the death of Moses, the Lord instructs Joshua, Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, for them that shall make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have I not commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Years later, in 1 Kings 2, verses 2 to 3, when King David was dying, he charged his son Solomon, saying, I go the way of all the earth. Be thou strong, therefore, and show thyself a man, and keep the charge of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes, and his commandments, and his judgments, and his testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses, that thou mayest prosper in all that thou doest, and whithersoever thou turnest thyself. So in my story, going with the new company is not what I wanted to do, but it's what the Holy Spirit instructed me to do. If I had followed my own desire rather than obeying God, I would have been laid off soon after making that decision. But as a result, God rewarded my obedience with a paycheck that continued every 2 weeks, and that gave me joy. Another area where our obedience was challenged was with tithing. It was like a voice spoke to me saying, James, you know you're eventually going to be laid off. Wouldn't it be best if you began saving that tithing money to use when you're unemployed? God's got plenty of money. He could do without yours for a while. Have any of you ever heard that voice? Well, it sounds reasonable, right? Storing up for hard times? It's even biblical, right? Well, nevertheless, I knew this was Satan speaking to me. Just like Satan did with Jesus, and just like he does with you, he was distorting the truth. So how did I know that that voice was Satan? Because I know what the Bible says about tithing. So I want to extrapolate on this and give you some background, because I believe tithing has been the single most factor in our financial prosperity, and therefore, it could be yours too. Years ago, while we were dating and planning a life together, the Holy Spirit confronted my wife and me about our failure to tithe. He revealed to us in Scripture that we were not only being disobedient, but we were stealing from Him. Here's what we found in Malachi 3, verses 8 through 10. Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Well, we pulled three key takeaways from this scripture. One, we're stealing from God. Two, this theft results in a curse on us as well as our blessed country, America. And three, prove me now, it's actually a challenge from God. One of the commandments that you'll find that comes with a challenge. We decided to take up this challenge and take note of how God blessed us for tithing. But we didn't have to wait long. That very same day, I received a letter from my college loan agency that they were reducing my interest rate. I don't know about you, but those letters just don't seem to come easily. Well, we took this as an immediate confirmation directly from the Almighty. Months later, right after we got married, my wife was laid off for a year. Our finances were stretched like a piano string, but we continued tithing, and the Lord saw us through. He helped us understand the principle that He owns everything, and we are merely stewards of His resources. And He revealed to us what I like to call the open hand principle. And this is so important that I wanted to demonstrate this for you with the help of my two friends, John and Parker, if they would please come forward. When God gives us blessing, it's often our natural tendency to hold on to it and not share it with others. And that's how I used to be. I would think, well, if He gave me the blessing, then He must want me to have it. And if He wanted somebody else to have it, well, wouldn't He just give it to them directly? Well, that's what I call the closed fist principle. This box is full of money, and don't be alarmed, it's not from the offering plate. But it's representing blessing. So as God gives us blessing, we can either have a closed fist with our blessing, as John is demonstrating, or we can have an open hand, as Parker is demonstrating. And here's the real key to catch. When more blessing starts to flow upon us from the Lord, look who's able to receive it, those who have the open hand. Poor John, with his closed hands, he wasn't able to receive any more blessing at all. But look how much extra Parker got. Moreover, Parker's able to now share his blessing with others. Even furthermore, Parker's got open hands, he can pick up the blessing that fell all around the people with closed fist.
It's a lose situation.
Thank you, gentlemen. So you get the point. Don't be a John.
Amen.
Thank you, brothers. There are many opportunities for obedience, and tithing is just one of them. It has had such a profound impact to my prosperity that I just had to share it with you. So I encourage you to take up this challenge of tithing. Try it for a period of time, perhaps 6 months, and take note of what the Lord does in your life, especially with regard to finances, but prosperity in general, and see if he holds up his end of the challenge. Now let's move on to principle number two. Be faithful with what you can control and let God handle the rest. Be faithful. We all have faithfulness, both Christians and non-Christians. I encourage my former team members to continue working with excellence for the new employer. Personally, I didn't even want to get up out of bed in the morning. But I forced myself to continue to work with excellence for this new employer because I realized I'm an ambassador for Christ, and my life is a testimony to others. Take control. You know, men gain most of their self-worth from their vocation. Therefore, one of the best ways to leave a man feeling useless, helpless, and disrespected is to take away his job. I had no idea how long it would be before the axe reached my neck, but I did not want to let the situation destroy me. Moreover, I wanted to secure income for my family, as 1 Timothy 5:8 says, "If any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel." So, I set out early and aggressively in finding a new job. I spent every day on my job search. I set up about 20 profiles and job alerts on the internet. I applied to 95 jobs in total. For 6 of these positions, I was invited to interview in person, which comprised 48 separate hour-long interviews, an average of 8 hours per job. Prepare for the hard times. For over a decade, I've been pulling together and building a job recruiter list. When recruiters would contact me, I would respectfully thank them and let them know that I'm happily employed, but I would make note of their name and contact information and add that to my list. So as a result, as I saw my layoff impending, I had 500 job recruiters that I was able to call out for help. My wife and I also did something else that you can do. In alignment with Dave Ramsey's 7 Steps of Financial Stewardship, we had 6 months of our expenses in our savings account stored up. So you see, saving up is a good thing, as long as you're not saving the money that the Lord instructed to give back to him. Leave the rest to God. As Christians, we can honestly acknowledge that Jesus is in control of every situation and will guide our every step, just as promised in Proverbs 3, verses 5 to 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Principle number 3. Stay positive, look for the good, and expect great things. Stay positive. In my quiet time with Jesus, I kept saying, "I'm trusting you." This made the 3rd time in my career when I was about to lose my job due to an acquisition. And both times before, the Lord brought me out with advancement. So just like Moses kept reminding the Israelites, I had to keep reminding myself of God's faithfulness and his track record of blessings. And you should do the same. My friends, change will always occur. Life is turbulent, and people will let you down. But Jesus is your one constant. He is steady, and he can keep you steady, too. Well, look for the good. Just like that hymn goes that we'll be singing later, you should count your blessings and name them one by one. For me, I got to encourage others and see them off to new jobs. I had a chance to witness and develop a closer relationship with a colleague who was struggling with the same problem as me. My story was a witness to that executive and perhaps to others. My hours were reduced from 65 to 45 hours a week. I left the office before dark every day, and I was able to return to weekly Bible study at Amwell. Expect great things. Friends, we serve the Creator of the universe, so don't ever underestimate His abilities or His desire to bless you. You remember what Matthew 6, verse 26 says? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Romans 12, 2 says, the will of God is perfect. He wants us to live our lives to the fullest. That's why Jesus came, and that's prosperity. So watch for the cues, and watch for the open doors. And think big. God is not chintzy. Just like we heard earlier, John 14, 2 says, he has mansions prepared for us. So let's get back to the story. We left off with me getting my 60-day termination notice. To be honest, this was scary news, but I began to get excited as I figured the Lord must have something in the works for me now that he's allowing things to progress to this stage. So now, 11 months after the acquisition, I had simultaneous interviews with two companies. One was a dynamic and growing company that wanted someone to lead a new department at their corporate headquarters. On my final day of termination, I received an offer for that corporate role. How's that for God's perfect timing? Amen. Well, here are some of the great things that I had not expected that came about. Readiness. He was equipping me. Do you remember the story of David and Goliath? And how God had prepared David for that confrontation years before, when David had killed both a lion and a bear that had ran off with his lambs. But likewise, God was preparing me. The company with which I am now employed has recently acquired another company, and my experience of being on the other side of the acquisition last year has given me an enhanced compassion and wisdom with how to manage the employees that we just acquired at my new company. So think about how the Lord may be equipping you the next time you're going through a trouble. Commute time. My commute time went from 60 to 50 miles. Thankfully, it's shorter, but it's still long enough to maintain a healthy conversation each morning with Jesus. Influence. In my new role, I have the opportunity to influence in a company that is 100 times larger than my previous business unit. Rejuvenation. The job search consumed my evenings and my weekends for the entire past year. I was exhausted from it all, and I got behind on many things. So the Lord gave me a 4-week respite between jobs. Surgery. My wife needed a procedure, and the desired surgeon was not available. However, the Lord allowed us to get an appointment with the surgeon's protege just before my health insurance was about to run out, and the surgery was very successful. Time off. I used my vacation time to go on these job interviews. It was limited, so I asked God to only grant me interviews that were aligned with His will. On my last day, I had only 1 hour of unused time left. Compensation. It would likely have taken another 3 to 5 years with my original company to obtain a position of this level in compensation. And here's the one that was totally unexpected. My wife and I pooled the money that they gave me in that severance pay, and we added that to the money that we had saved for that vehicle, and we paid off our mortgage. So I want to summarize some key takeaways for you to remember. First of all, Jesus is faithful. All we have to do is remember what He has done for us in the past to give us peace and confidence of what He'll do in our future. Isaiah 26:3 says, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on Thee." Wouldn't you like to enjoy this perfect peace when troubles come your way? Second, God is omniscient. He knows all things. In fact, He knows the future, and He knows you even better than you know yourself. Do your part and let Him handle the rest. God is omnipotent. He can do anything. He can keep the universe in balance while handling the minute details of your life. Moreover, as your Heavenly Father, He wants to be involved with your life. The only thing ever holding Him back is you. God is equipping you every day. Every struggle is meant to glorify Him and make you stronger. The Holy Spirit directs you and plants you for service, whether it's with work colleagues, family members, neighbors, or your church family. You have an opportunity to positively influence and affect the lives of numerous people in your circle of influence. Listen when you pray. Remember when I said that the Holy Spirit revealed to me that this was going to be a long and difficult process, but to keep my focus on Him? Well, I only knew that or heard that because I took time to listen for His response. This is not about religion. It's about a relationship. You've heard that many times here. A wise man once taught me that relationships are the most important thing on this earth and the only thing that we get to take with us to heaven. So if you're always talking, then you never get to hear or understand the other person. Likewise, if you only speak to God and never listen in silence, it will be difficult to hear when the Holy Spirit is talking to you. Be obedient. It's not about commandments. It's about helping us live our lives to the fullest potential, to prosper. Parents instruct their children to protect them. Likewise, God instructs you through His written word and through the Holy Spirit. In conclusion, I would like to leave you with some questions to think about. To whom do you turn in times of trouble? Do you have a personal relationship with the Most High God? Are you stealing from Him? Do you live in perfect peace, knowing that you are daily in the palms of His hands? And do you feel you are living a life that is full and prosperous? If not, then I challenge you to apply these prosperity principles to your own life. Obey God and leave all the consequences to Him. Be faithful with what you can control and leave the rest to Him. And stay positive, look for the good, and expect great things. Amen. Thank you.
Audio files, CDs, and notes of our weekly services are available on our website, www.amwell.org, or by calling 609-397-4842 and ask for CDs by the title or by guest speaker. Please don't forget to leave your name, address, and phone number.